with you for this week. Special thanks to the Spread the Word ministry for the invitation and for the fellowship that we'll enjoy this week. I have been looking forward to this time. Nancy has too. Our time in fellowship with Bill and Barbara Gustafson, good friends for many years, I should say, as well as with their family. Also glad to be sharing the conference ministry with Brother Bill, as well as Tom Irwin and Bruce Holsizer. We trust that we'll know the Lord's blessing and watch how the Spirit directs us all in His Word. You know, you can't go wrong if you go by the Word, and the best thing we can do with utilizing our time is to go right to the Word. So please look with me as we begin a series on walking with Christ, the daily walk. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. And all my readings, basically, unless mentioned, will be from the New King James Translation. Colossians 2:6 says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." We'll trust that the Lord will add His blessing to the reading of this verse and many of the rest that we'll be looking at as we go throughout this service today. Shall we ask the Lord's blessing once again in a word of prayer? Let's pray. Our Father, as we bow before Your presence, we thank You for the reminder that without Him we can do nothing. So we're desperately dependent, Lord Jesus, by Your Spirit, that You would guide us into all truth, even as You have promised. You would bring things back to our remembrance that we've heard before, but make them real in our hearts, we pray, as we give You thanks and pray in the name which is above every name, Your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. This walking with Christ is not only a theme of a conference, it's a way of life for the believer. And so we want to consider it very carefully as we begin this morning in our first message in this series. The prophet Amos, he teaches us a lesson. And this is the lesson. You can make a statement with a question. Amos asks, "Can two walk together unless they be agreed?" He was making a statement, you know. The statement is, only if there's agreement can we walk together with Christ. So if we're going to walk with Christ during this week and for the rest of our life, all the way home on our road to heaven, we want to make sure that we get off on the right foot and take the first step. Now, I know any time there are gathered together a number like this, we would be negligent to ever start without making sure that the first step has been taken. Many people are trying to walk with Christ when they've never been introduced to Him before, and so we want to get you off on the right foot. And the first step that we're going to look at has to do with receiving Christ as your personal Savior. The next step has to do with responding to His Word, as we're going to see in just a few moments. Then we also want to show this morning that the walking with Christ is a step-by-step, day-by-day, moment-by-moment relationship with Him that leads us on to glory. And when you walk with Christ, the fourth thing we want to see is you're going to be out of step with the world, no longer walking as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds. Then lastly, we'd like to take a step up, so you know exactly where we're going on this daily walk for today in this message. Let's start with the first step. It's receiving Christ. Notice what he said in Colossians 2, the first part of verse 6, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord." You know, the Lord Jesus, John tells us in John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, came to his own world, his own people, his own creation, and his own received him not. They would not receive him. Peter says they did not recognize him. But even those who knew about him refused to accept him, so they rejected him. They received him not. But to as many as received him, John goes on to tell us in verse 12 of chapter 1,
to them gave he power, or the right, to become the children of God.
And notice what the next phrase says.
Even to them that believe in his name.
You want to get off on the right foot? The first step, you see, believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby you must be saved.
There's no other way of salvation except through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Have you taken the first step? If you haven't, remember, you can make a great statement through a question. The question I'd ask you, if you haven't received Christ, why not? Today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. But how do you believe on his name? Well, if you'll allow me to oversimplify so I can understand it, you're going to find out this week, if you've never heard the ministry that the Lord has directed me into, it's a very simple ministry. I hope you won't be offended by it, but I want to understand these things. And in simplicity, that's the way I want to express them. The simplicity of faith in Christ is as simple as Brother Les Rainey shared with us years ago through an acrostic of the word faith, F-A-I-T-H. Faith, F, forsaking, A, all, I, the personal pronoun I, T, trust, H, him. Forsaking all, I trust him. For there is no one else who can save. Nothing else that man can do to ever attain to salvation. It's a work of God. The Father, he thought it. The Son, he brought it. The Spirit, he wrought it in the hearts of those who would exercise faith, simply believing or taking God at his word. That what he said about his Son is absolutely true. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth hath everlasting life. Have you received Christ as your personal Savior? Zacchaeus, what a great example. A man who was a little short, like some of us. A man who was up a tree, like many times I know. But a man who received Christ, he came down with haste. You notice the urgency? Listen, there's an urgency in receiving Christ. If you haven't received him, don't put it off. Whatever you do, don't put off the most important step you could ever take. Not only the first step, the only step that will get you into heaven, it's the step of having faith in Christ. He came down from that tree with haste. Sometimes we need to come down and be quick about it, to come to Christ. And he received him, the scripture says, with joy. I'll tell you, it'd be the most exciting thing you'll ever do in all your life. But it won't be based on the feeling of joy that you receive when you receive him. But it'll be based on faith, believing what God has done on your behalf. I received an email a number of months ago, referring to the Romans Road, a card that I had printed up and passed out to some friends. They said, would you mind sending me those Romans Road verses again? I have somebody who's very simple-minded, and I thought that would be a good way to share it with them. I personally wouldn't normally share the gospel with this simple approach, but if you don't mind, would you tell me those verses again? Do you mind if I make it that simple? The Romans Road. You don't know these verses? Jot them down. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In other words, every one of us have sinned. There are none righteous, no, not even one. That includes you, and that includes me. There are no exceptions to the rule. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But then, because of that, Romans 6:23 makes it clear that the wages of sin is death. You know that verse so well, but do you remember the first time you heard it? You remember the shock and horror of what it meant to recognize, I'm a sinful person. I have no hope. I'm undone. I'm unclean. I'm unable to do anything about it.
And because of my sin, God has pronounced death as the wages of that sin. I hope you can remember what the acknowledgement of that meant to you. Perhaps years ago, some of you, you're coming to grips with it for the very first time. We're all destined to die, declared unrighteous, and doomed as children by nature. What wonderful good news it is that God has intercepted us, and He sent His Son, Romans 5:8 tells us, in that while we were still sinners, not after we became righteous, for we cannot do that in our own strength. For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Helpless and ungodly, He took our place, and He died in our place. What love He demonstrated toward us at Calvary. And because of that, the next verse on your little Romans road or road to heaven is Romans 6:23 again, the rest of the verse. While the wages of sin is death, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now He declares, but the free gift of God, or the gift of God, is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. A gift? Is that what we're talking about as a first step? Now, if you've ever been in sales, you find out the best thing you can do is get your foot in the door. Sometimes when you're telling someone the good news of the gospel, getting your foot in the door is the most important. You might get the door slammed on your foot. We were going door to door a number of years ago. Caused quite a ruckus in the neighborhood, you see. And as I made my way down the road to get away from some of the noise that a few of the neighbors had stirred up, saying, "Don't bother coming here with that stuff." We tried not to respond, just kept on walking. The neighbor on down the road heard some of the noise, and she said, "And that goes for me too." And I said, "Yes, but I've got good news." I figured I'd kept my distance from the other neighbors down the way, and she said, "Well, if you're selling something, I'm not interested either." I said, "I'm not selling anything. In fact, I've got a free gift for you." By that time, I'd already gotten up to the door. And I told her of the good news. She said, "Is this anything to do with religion?" I said, "It couldn't be further from religion." And a big smile came across her face, so she said, "What is it?" And I'm so glad you asked me that question. And I presented her with a gospel tract. The gift of God. Do you mind if we emphasize that gift, do you? It's not that it was so cheap that it was free. It's that it was so costly. It cost Him everything. Who could pay? And so He presents it to us. Makes it available to whosoever will believe as a free gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. How do you receive the gift? Well, Romans 10:10 tells us, "For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation." You mean if I believe in my heart, what do I believe? Well, Romans 10:9-10 tell us, this is what you believe. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. Do you believe that? Do you believe Him? I'm assuming that you do because you're here. But have you ever done what's necessary to do to take that first step home to heaven? It's Romans 10:13. "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall, guaranteed, be saved." A good friend down in Augusta, Georgia, Andy Scott, worked with the prison ministry with an older brother. For a number of years, they would go every Tuesday night to the prison ministry. And the older brother would do the message and Andy would go along just to support and encourage. Can't remember the older man's name, but he died suddenly of a heart attack. Tuesday night was coming, and Andy thought, he won't be able to go. What would the prisoners do for the message? I'll have to go and tell them about what happened to our friend and how we won't be coming anymore. As Andy thought about it, he thought, well, I'll go and tell them, but perhaps I should prepare a little message for them that night. And he prepared, prayed, and went and presented the message, and right in the middle of the message, you know what happened? One of the prisoners stood up and said, listen, do I have to wait till you finish before I can be saved? He said, no, you can trust the Lord right now as your personal Savior. You know, that's never happened to me that I know of. But I would love to have a divine interruption, wouldn't you? That God would do a work in someone's heart right here and right now. No, you don't have to raise your hand and stop the meeting, but you can if you want to. There's an urgency to receive Christ as your Savior. I wouldn't put it off till the end of this meeting for anything. I would receive Him now if you haven't. Call on His name, and you'll be saved without any doubt. And you'll take your first step. Listen, if you don't do that, this whole conference, as far as the theme of walking with Christ, you're going to be out of step the whole time. This is the time. Receive Him if you haven't. And that Romans road, simple as it is, will lead you right to Christ. What a great destination. You know, Colossians 2:6 again tells us the next step. If you've received Him, and it says, as you have therefore received Him, or received Christ Jesus the Lord, notice it, so walk in Him. Now, this is not a test, but I want to make a statement with a question. How did you receive Him? And the answer is obviously by faith. I put my trust in Him. As you've received Him. How? By faith. So walk in Him. How are you going to walk? By faith. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We're tired of sight walking, aren't we? In this world, going by things as they appear. Appearances are deceiving. We can't trust them. We must walk by faith. As the wise man wrote in the book of Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. That's walking by faith, trusting in Him. It's the next step for the believer. You know, sometimes someone is saved on their way to heaven, and they think, well, now I'll just sit back and wait and see what happens next. No, this is the most exciting time to be alive. Life has just begun for you. Every step counts from here on out. Home to glory. The next step is walking in Him and walking by the light of the Word. His Word becomes a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, and the pathway is before us now to walk. So I want to encourage you. You know the Lord is your Savior. Walk with Him. We're going to be looking at how the Lord Jesus walked and how we should be walking with Him all throughout the rest of the week. But let me tell you, after you take that first step, and perhaps you've already taken the next step. Now you're starting to walk. And you know, walking is a step-by-step proposition. Walking is simply one step repeated after another. You can do one, you can do two. And then just keep right on going, walking one step at a time. As you walk one step at a time, well, let me just take you to a few verses, if you would. Let's go back to the book of Proverbs, please. Proverbs chapter 4. And in Proverbs chapter 4, it talks to us a lot about walking, because walking is that practical side of living our lives day by day. If you go to Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to read it, and then I'd like to quote it in a verse the way that Brother Stan Ford quoted to us a number of years ago while he was walking here on earth. Proverbs chapter 4, I want you to notice, please, in verse 12. It says in Proverbs 4:12, when you walk, your steps shall not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. I do better walking than I do running these days, but what a blessing it is. Here's the way Brother Stanford quoted this verse. I believe he said it was the Revised Version. He said, "As thou goest step by step, the way shall be open before you." That's the verse that the Lord gave us through His ministry as He opened the door toward Africa in 1983 or 82. "As thou goest step by step, the way shall be opened up before you." Your steps will not be hindered. You see, when you walk in the Lord, you're walking, as Psalm 23 tells us, in the paths of righteousness. You're not walking alone. Think of it. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even if that path takes us down through the valley of the shadow of death, we'll fear no evil, for He is with us. His rod and His staff, they comfort us. This is the idea, isn't it? As we go, step by step, the way is open before us. Our steps will not be impeded or hindered, but He leads us along. And when He put forth His sheep, the Gospel of John chapter 10 tells us, He goes before them. As He leads us along, step by step. Well, we're right here in Proverbs chapter 4. Look at verse 18, if you will. Proverbs 4:18 tells us about this path. It's a path of righteousness, but here the righteous are called the just. Proverbs 4:18 says, "But the path of the just is like the shining sun or the shining light that shines even brighter or brighter and brighter unto the perfect day." Tell you what, the path to glory is already illuminated by His light. And each step along the way is getting brighter and brighter as we look to Him. The Lord Jesus leads us by example, doesn't He? Even if we're to suffer, we're to follow, Peter tells us, His steps. Our brother read from Psalm 85, verse 13. I just noted it this morning. It says, "He shall make His footsteps our pathway." Isn't it great? So when we say that the walk, our daily walk, is a step-by-step process, it's one made up of growing, of progression. Routine, but not, as Steve mentioned, not in a boring fashion, but routine in the freshness that each step comes from Him and is led along personally by Him. Now, some of you have been walking for a number of years with the Lord. But you know, you're not there yet. None of us have attained yet. The only reason I know that is the saintliest man I know who's with the Lord now, Brother Bramhall, walked with the Lord for 85 years. And he told me one day a secret. He said, "I'm not there yet." But talk about walking with the Lord. How long have you walked with Him? Tell me about the way home so far. You've been walking 1 year with the Lord? 5 years maybe? Some of us over 30 years? Some of you over 50 years? 60 and 70 years? What have you learned along the way? Step by step, He opens up the way before you. He shines the light brighter and brighter, and He teaches you. It's a progression, isn't it? From one step on to another. Difficulties along the way? You turn those stumbling blocks into stepping stones, and you learn all the lessons of life by the experiences that can only come from walking with Him. I hope you're enjoying your walk. You know, step by step, walking with the Lord takes us out of step altogether with the world. Join me, please, as we turn to the book of Ephesians. I know our brethren are going to be looking into the book of Ephesians, but here's one in Ephesians chapter 4 I don't think will be mentioned. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, looking in verse 17, and by the way, Ephesians, the book, has much to say about walking. All the walks of the believer are found in this great book. But we're looking specifically about our walk with Christ. And being out of step with the world, Paul says in Ephesians 4:17, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Listen, if you don't know what next step to take, ask an unbeliever. What does he think? And then whatever he tells you, you go the opposite way. You don't think it works that way? Try it out. I know it. What do you think I should do? And then whatever they tell you, you do the opposite. I believe you'd be close to right every time. Because the Gentiles, they walk in the futility of their mind. Their understanding has been darkened. They have no light. Now you might be 30, 40, 50 years down the road, but you haven't forgotten how to think like the Gentiles, have you? It's amazing how fast Gentile-like thoughts can come right up to our mind. Maybe not while we're walking, maybe just while we're driving on the interstate, on the Belt Road, the one that has 5 or 6 lanes going one direction. I know none of you would think like that, but I can recognize the thinking of the Gentile. I don't want to walk that way. I do want to be out of step. Will they call me Gomer Pyle? They might, but that's okay. I don't mind being out of step with the world. Make me want to step back from the world and watch my step that I not be mistaken for walking in the ways of this world. Some of our friends among the believers in Africa used to say, you can't have 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the Lord. You'll split right down the middle. Because the world is apart from Christ. It's either walking in the Word or walking in the world. You can't do both. I want to be out of step. Don't you? If you're not, time to get in step with Him and be out of step with the world. But then I want you to notice a number of verses, please. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 6. In this walk with the Lord, as you started on the first step and you've taken the next step, you're walking with Him, and you find out that your walk is just a step-by-step progression, all of a sudden you recognize you're out of step with this world, and you've stepped in to the good of all that God has, and you walk the length and the breadth of the promises of God in this great land of faith and the life of faith. You find out, according to the book of Romans chapter 6 and verses 3 and 4, that your whole life is different altogether. You're walking now in a way that you've never gone before. It's the same experience that Thomas had to have when he said, Lord, where are you going? We don't know the way, and how can we know the way? And the Lord Jesus had to tell him, have I been with you so long? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except by me. When Philip said, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Have I been with you so long that you've not recognized? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The way, the Father, well, the Lord Jesus is the way. And Him being the way, He leads us into a way that we've never been before. Where does it start? Well, Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, reflect back to the point of baptism. Now, baptism would take place immediately after following faith in Christ in the early church. We've gotten a long way away from that, haven't we? But it needs to be considered very carefully, believer's baptism. In Romans chapter 6, verse 3, he says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? The only way to get out of step with the world is to die to it, to die to the old man, to realize that every day and every moment for my life, I'm going to reckon myself dead indeed unto sin. But, don't stay in the water, if you will. Just like baptism, you're buried with Him in baptism because you've died with Him. In verse 4, you're buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead. Now you understand that it's more than just water baptism, but the recognition of what water baptism represents. Just as a person standing alive is lowered into the watery grave of baptism, it represents that when Christ died, we died too. And when he was buried, we were buried. But now, don't miss it. When he was raised for our justification, upon faith in Christ, we died with him, we were buried with him, and now we're raised with him. To do what? Oh, verse 4 goes on to say, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk. How? In the newness of life. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to be alive. I mean, really living. This is what life is. I was dead for a long time. I'm glad to finally be alive. I've been alive now longer than I've been dead. And now I'm starting to scare you. Oh, it's good to be alive, isn't it? Are you living in Christ? Are you walking in the newness of life? Please suffer a little exhortation along the way. Walk like it. Enjoy each step. It's a brand new way you've never been before. Brand new and ever new. You know, it's a good prayer to pray, isn't it? Before you minister, before you go out in the day. Lord, help me to live this day in my life as if it's the last day I'll ever live, and with the urgency of living for you. And help me to live it with the freshness as if it's the first day I've ever lived for his glory and honor. The newness of life, it's ever new and always new. By the expressions on your face, I'm not sure. Most people that are alive are smiling or saying, Amen. Or maybe that's just down south. I don't know. I heard a brother Bruce make us very welcome as he welcomed y'all to the meeting today. I'm glad y'all are here. In fact, being Southern boys, Bill, we're glad to be here too. I talked to a person the other day when they found out I was from down south. She said, well, how are y'all doing? I said, we're all doing fine. She said, you know the plural of y'all, don't you? I said, I'm afraid I don't. She said, all y'all. I hope all y'all are walking in the newness of life and enjoying fellowship one with another. It's a brand new life. Oh, how it fills me, a brand new life. Oh, how it thrills me. A brand new life, deeper and wider. It's a wonderful, wonderful, and brand new life. Today, and tomorrow, and the next day, it's the wonder of the newness of life. But notice also, while we look through our Bible in the book of Ephesians once again, this life being so new takes us in a way we've never been before. And Ephesians chapter 2, well, I'm going to be reading verse 10, but I just don't know if I can read 10 without reading 8 and 9. The Lord used Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 greatly in my life to help me to understand about this new life. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 and 10 tell us, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Talk about a little reinforcement all the way back to the first step. But notice, that faith and that salvation is not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But now here's verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This newness of life is a walk in good works. Now that's different, isn't it? We're no longer walking in the way we used to walk, but now our walk should lead us into service for him. Walking in good works. I believe that God has laid before every believer a path that he desires them to follow. Are you in the will of God? His will is the best will for your life. Don't ever miss that. He knows the very best for you because he's created you the first time and he's recreated you a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And being created in Christ Jesus, you're now created unto good works. Walk in them. He desires it. But not only that, Ephesians 5:2, just mentioning it as we pass through, Ephesians 5:2 says that this walk in the newness of life should not only be one of life and works, but notice this, Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love. If I'm walking in love, I'm fulfilling the perfect law of liberty. John tells us, this is the way you walk in love. You keep His commandments. His commandments are not burdensome, but love fulfills the law. In other words, I won't steal Christmas lights off of someone's RV. Why? Because the Bible says, thou shalt not steal? Oh, no. But because the Bible says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Therefore, it fulfills the perfect law of God. You see how it works? In every area, you can take every law and precept and principle in the Word of God. If we're walking in love, we find the fulfillment of it. Isn't that more pleasurable that way? Walking in love. Colossians chapter 4. You'll be glad I put these right in order of your Bible. Just keep turning back. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. And in this great verse, he talks about the importance of making the gospel clear as we ought to speak. But it's not only his talk that he speaks about, but to reinforce the message with his walk. He tells us in Colossians chapter 4, Colossians 4 verse 5, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Paul says it also in the book of Ephesians that we're to walk circumspectly. In other words, with balance and wisdom. To walk with wisdom or in wisdom toward those who are outside, I tell you, they're watching what you do because what we do speaks louder than what we say. But if you say it right and live it out in your walk, they cannot refute the message. You win them without a word. To where even their criticism has no foundation whatsoever, and you put to silence the things that are said about believers if we walk in wisdom. We have an adversary, you know, the devil. He walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We need to walk in wisdom. And notice, redeeming the time actually means buying up the opportunity, making the most of the opportunity as God offers these things to us. Don't pass them by. Take the time to walk His path in His wisdom. And then over to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Just so you know, we're going to revisit some of these verses that we're mentioning, but we'll do it with a little bit more detail as we get on in the week. But 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the very first verse I thought of as this theme was given to me, says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light, walking in wisdom, walking in love, walking in good works, walking in the newness of life, these are all part of the walk, the daily walk with Christ, in our daily walk with Him. But what does it mean to walk in the light? When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and to those who will trust and obey. How true it is as we walk in the light. In other words, in fellowship, and bask in the light of His glory. And we find out that we're not walking alone. He walks with us. As you know, the fellowship we have with one another is the fellow believers along life's way. How thankful I am. I don't know what I would have done in my life had it not been for close fellow believers. My wife, first of all, Nancy, but many of you that have been walking together in the Lord. What good fellowship we've enjoyed over the years. You know what? The best is yet to come. and how much we have to look forward to. The Lord Jesus prayed that there would be unity in that fellowship. The apostles, they preached that there would be unity as we strive to keep the unity of the Spirit of God. And the early church, they practiced the unity of that fellowship. Let's keep on walking. Now, the only way we can truly walk in true spiritual unity and harmony is not by conformity one to another, but rather walking in the light as He is in the light, being conformed and made more like Him. And then we find out that others, as the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. As we follow Him, the peripheral vision helps us, doesn't it? There are others following, some ahead, some behind, some beside, but we're walking together with Him. Now, the teaching of the Lord Jesus sometimes was very difficult. Some were tempted to turn away and no longer walk with the Lord. You can make a great statement with a question, can't you? Isn't that true? There was one. Yes, you can. The Lord turned to His disciples when they told Him, listen, that's a hard saying. He said, will you leave me too? Peter said, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe that You are the Christ, the Son of God. And they kept walking. So much so that John the Beloved writes in his last epistle, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Are you walking in truth? The Word is truth. There used to be a commercial saying, let your fingers do the walking through the yellow pages. Well, you just keep walking through the Word with your heart. One thing I learned in Africa, never walk faster than you can talk. I've been practicing it ever since. I've walked a lot of miles in Africa. We didn't have a car for a long, long time. So we walked everywhere. We spent more time together there with people than anywhere else. Now we drive an air-conditioned truck. But walking and talking go hand in hand. So if you're a power walker, make sure you're a power talker too. We would have visitors come out to visit us in Zaire, and they would say, we'd like to go to the Pygmies with you. I said, well, it's quite a long walk. They said, no, we're ready. We got our tennis shoes on. We're ready. I said, you got to go way down a mountain and way up the other mountain. It's a 40-minute walk to the Pygmies. So we got started on the trip. On the way down, Nancy and I would tell them about our children. Now we tell them about our grandchildren. We would talk all the way down that mountain. We'd get to the bottom, a little bit muck and mire, and we'd say, as we started up the other side, tell us about your family. I know I've got a few walkers, mountain walkers here. Halfway up the mountain, trying to talk and walk going uphill, they'd run out of breath. By the time we got up to the Pygmy camp, they would say, my, you folks are in good shape. We weren't. We walk and we can talk. And we never walk faster than what we can walk. But you see, if you wait on the Lord, He'll renew your strength. He'll mount up with wings like eagles. You'll run and not grow weary. You'll walk and not faint. If you walk with the Lord. Are you walking with Him daily? I trust you are. We'll be looking at this more in the week to come. If you haven't taken the first step, please take it right now. I would be glad to talk with you, Steve, Bill, Tom, Bruce, any of the leadership here would love to sit down and talk with you about how you start your walk with the Lord. Shall we pray?